knock on our door.
Come knock on our door.
We've been waiting for you.
We've been waiting for you.
Where the kisses are hers and hers and his. Three's company too. Come and dance on our floor.
Thank you for knocking on our door and welcome to the Regal Beagle Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the much-loved television sitcom Three's Company. Here we review and discuss each and every Three's Company episode covering all 8 seasons in chronological order. My name is Danko Jones, and joining me today, yet again, is my cousin Cameron. Cameron, it's great to have you back on the Regal Beagle Podcast.
It's great to be back.
You were here last week.
I was.
For the very last episode of season 3.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I like to give you a break. You know, give you a break on these things because there's only so much of these episodes you can handle.
That I can stomach, yeah.
So, you know, I bring in a guest host and, you know, it's usually, you know, someone who loves the show and I'm friends with, a fan of, people know, you know, kind of, you know, fairly well-known profile. And then I bring you back.
Yeah.
But this time I insisted you had to come on from the transition ending season 3 to beginning season 4 because you have been watching the first 3 seasons. This is probably the most important transition in the series.
Well, I was blindsided by the loss of the Ropers. I didn't see that coming. I thought it was going to be with them to the bitter end.
Yeah.
of the series. And not even make it to season 4, I was truly just shocked.
Well,
absolutely.
Like I think we mentioned on the previous episode, it's a testament to the popularity of the Ropers that they were spun off.
Well, which in and of itself, I think, is still blows my mind that people enjoyed them enough to just have a show exclusively centered around who they are and their lives. Like that kind of blows my mind altogether. But I guess maybe for the climate and for the time, people loved it.
It was the Friends of their time, the Breaking Bad of their time. You know, so you know it asked for a spinoff, and I don't think it was the right decision.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, it ushered in a new era that I really, really loved.
Yeah, you've alluded to this many times.
So I needed for you to come on again and to watch this consecutively. So this is season 4, episode 1, Jack on the Lam. It aired September 11th, 1979, directed by Dave Powers, written by Neil Leibovitz. So 2 FBI agents show up to the apartment looking for Jack. Jack gets scared and dressing in drag, tries to hide from them. And so now we have right off the top, I don't know if you noticed, there's a new opening.
It's fun.
New theme song.
They tweaked it. It's so fun. Everything's fun.
On the Santa Monica Pier.
Yeah.
Walking on the boardwalk, there's bumper cars, there's sailing at the end sequence. We see Jack and the girls walking hand in hand.
Yeah.
You know, we see Larry.
Larry.
You know?
Which, I mean,
who's the only one we see other than the three kids.
So arguably then, okay, I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is when he really starts to, you know, become a regular on the show.
Right.
Because up until now, I've seen him maybe once or twice.
Good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, Larry's in. Richard Klein.
So he's got his own title, you know, card. He's in it for the long haul.
Yeah, he's in it.
Yeah.
So he's got a steady paycheck at this point.
Yeah.
As an actor, he is an employed actor.
That's it.
He's in. And so we see these two agents, and then, you know, Jack thinks he's in trouble with the law. He jogs his memory, and he thinks it's because he went AWOL with just a few days left to serve, and they're coming after him. I think, you know, these two agents played by Special Agent Roth, played by Rudolph Wilrich, bit parts in Jake and the Fat Man, L.A. Law, 9 1/2 Weeks, Deep Space Nine, and then Special Agent Banning, who was the shorter kind of balding blonde guy, played by James Staley. He had a regular role on Coach. He was Mr. Rosebrock. He was bit parts on Magnum P.I. and The Golden Girls. And so, yeah, that's pretty much it. There's other guests on here, but you know, there's Chrissy's blind date. She's supposed to go on a date,
right?
Which is that in and of itself is really fucking odd because her blind date, whoever set them up.
Twice her age.
Three times her age, yeah, maybe.
For sure.
Like he's a senior citizen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And this is okay in 79.
Yeah. And ends up falling head over heels for Jack and Drag.
I mean that's pretty.
Which is
2018.
Great. Listen, yeah, I will say that as for a season premiere, they really, right? What year was this? Remind me.
79.
Okay, 79. As for a season premiere, like they, you know, really like starting with Jack and Drag, I think is going to, and I don't know because I haven't seen the next few episodes, but it might set the tone for where this is going. Because I feel like they have up until this point, you know, and I didn't really think about it at the time because I was sort of just really struggling to get through the episodes. But I think there was something to say too, and I'll loop back to that. But it was really refreshing to watch this show without the Ropers. Like, is that a controversial opinion?
No.
Because I just felt like, you know, there were places that Jack was taking it and the girls were going and it was stupid, but it was funny. And I was laughing, I'll admit it. And then we had to just like trudge through another, you know, god awful scene with the Ropers. And I couldn't stand it. But then to not have them here.
Bickering, no bickering anymore.
Oh, just too much. And then to have a full episode, and maybe it was just because I was hyper aware that they're gone. And I'm thinking, how are they going to fill the void? Okay, Larry's gonna, you know, have a bit more, you know, of a prominent role. But overall, I just felt like things really moved a lot better. There was a lot more time for them to have chemistry on screen. And I really appreciated that. And I could see that in all of Jack's scenes in Drag. And like, obviously to us at home, it's blind, like it's so obvious that it's Jack.
Right.
But the fact that everyone else is
right
confused and playing along, obviously, like
Larry hits on hilarity,
the best, love it.
So another thing I might mention is Chrissy's blind date and Larry kind of get into a fight, and they have a kind of an insult match that using insults that don't even exist.
I caught that. What was it that the blind date called Larry? Because
a quink.
Yeah, I replayed that over and over and again, quink. And I couldn't figure out what it was.
And then he called him a schmurd. Like these made up words that are supposed to be insulting.
So those weren't things back then.
As far as I know, no. And if they were, they never caught on. Like, hey, you schmurd.
Oh
my God, really? So that was interesting, and. Of course, Walter Nessel is Chrissy's blind date,
right.
Played by Dick O'Neill, and he was in bit parts again. In these, like a lot of these people just had bit parts, but he was also in Taking of Pelham 1-2-3, the original.
Okay.
He was in The Jerk. He's kind of a familiar face of the time, but yeah, that's about it.
But okay, so I thought overall, like. There definitely, it was, I mean, miles better than things I've seen before. And I genuinely was, like, I guffawed when I saw Jack and Drag. Because I really honestly wasn't expecting that at all. Yeah. But having said that, I mean, there were still just really odd choices in the episode. Most notably was when the scene where Jack's trying to remember what he did and why there would be FBI agents after him. We cut from a scene with them, the FBI agents leaving, same apartment, nothing's changed. All of a sudden, Jack's in his house coat, right? And it's like a really short robe. And there are moments when he's like, you know, sort of on like gesticulating, like on the couch, where like I almost maybe like had to replay because I thought I saw, you know, parts flying all over the place. And it was just such a weird choice to have him all of a sudden in his robe for no apparent reason.
Right.
And that was just like,
I never even thought of that.
So little things like that where it's just like, this is great, but why? Sure. But okay. I mean,
I have no answer to that.
And here, like, I understand that, and as I'm saying it, I'm realizing how meaningless that is. And for, you know, this, like for a show that is, you know, supposed to just make you laugh, and I don't know what they were going for there, but it was just funny to me, and I didn't quite get it.
Yeah, indulge.
I didn't know if there was something behind that or
no. I don't know.
Okay.
My final observation.
Yes.
And I want to throw it out there, is Janet has a new hairdo.
Okay, that's my second. Okay, so here, can I read you my first few lines here? Season 4, episode 1, Jack and the Lamb. My first line of notes here: new open, fun as fuck, and then Janet, new hair.
Right.
It's flatter.
And it's shorter. It's like shorter. A kind of a pixie thing. Can I say hotter than Chrissy?
Whoa. Controversial. Well,
really?
No, actually.
Janet is smoking.
Okay, listen.
In this season.
I will say that, but that's only because I feel like, especially, I don't know if something's changed with Chrissy.
She's gotten dumb and dumber.
She's really embraced the dumb blonde. And dumber, yeah. And then her hairstyles are all over the map.
Dumb and dumber with the two ponytails to make her look like a child.
Right.
So, and then Janet, like, she's wearing these tight jeans. She's got a, oh, man.
She exudes a bit more maturity.
Yeah. Season 4, Janet is at her height.
Whoa.
This is like, I was like, and I'm watching this alongside you. And so I'm watching it with, you know, observing a little more than usual. And that's what struck me, going, wow, you know, from watching it in chronological order from season 3. And I'm like, yeah, you know, there's Janet again. That's cool, you know. And then pow, season 4 starts. She's got a new hairdo. She's right, like, man, they really, I don't know if that was from her. But, you know, in seasons 1, 2, and 3, when Jack falls off the bike because he sees a girl, that's Janet. That's Joyce DeWitt, too. Like, Joyce DeWitt was no slouch. I mean, you know, she was just up against a bombshell that defined beauty for a generation, which was Suzanne Summers in the 70s.
Yeah.
Season 1 is a testament to that. But, you know, take that away and you're, you know, Joyce DeWitt back in the day, 79. Wow. That's my final thought.
All right. Well, I mean, interesting to see how that unfolds as
it'll unfold.
Yeah.
We will. I don't want to say then.
Okay.
No
so,
spoilers.
Okay. So you've been alluding to this like moment that's going to happen this season, this like big shift or something's going to happen.
Right. Right.
I'm sort of gathering here that it didn't happen in this episode.
No.
No.
So we're going to keep going.
So things get better?
Episode 2.
Okay.